The Core Issues Trust is a group that offers therapy to those, I'm quoting here, seeking to change homosexual behaviour and feelings. And it's holding a conference this coming week on what's sometimes called conversion therapy. Trevor Barnes begins his report by speaking to a Christian who has struggled with his sexuality.
I got married to probably cover up the feelings that I thought perhaps that would take it away or it would change. Instead of dealing with the temptation, I allowed it to move on into activity.
Robert is in his late 50s and was aware of, though kept private, his homosexual orientation during the course of a heterosexual marriage that produced three children. Following his divorce over 10 years ago, he came out, but he felt his now openly gay lifestyle conflicted with his religious beliefs. Something had to give.
I had to make a choice, and that choice was that I had to sacrifice my Christian faith. I found it impossible to sit in church and participate in the things that were going on because I couldn't face the reality of what the message of the Bible was saying and what I actually was doing.
For the last 4 years, Robert has been part of a supportive Christian church in Northern Ireland. He says his promiscuous lifestyle has ended and he's finally at ease with himself and his faith. But in orientation, he admits he's still gay and says no amount of so-called conversion therapy could change that. Mike Davidson, director of the Core Issues Trust, organising this week's conference, begs to differ.
Behaviours can change, and as behaviours change, there's very clear evidence from a number of individuals and groups working in this field that feelings then begin to shift and change. Patterning changes, lifestyles change, people experience happiness in a different direction.
But does the actual orientation change?
It does change for some people.
Though he admits not for all and advises against unrealistic expectation. However, saying categorically that such therapy doesn't work is for him equally unjustified and, he says, ignores anecdotal evidence of success. For Michael King, Professor of Primary Care Psychiatry at University College London, that's not sufficient.
There's no evidence that these so-called conversion therapies or sexual orientation change efforts work. There's no randomised trial evidence, and we use randomised trials for evaluating treatments. I think the practice is harmful. And if they believe it's helpful, then they need to provide the evidence.
They say there is anecdotal evidence.
They say there's anecdotal evidence, but which new therapy in medicine would we institute on anecdotal evidence? We simply don't do it.
Although he's studied the scientific evidence and accepts many of the insights of mainstream therapy, Mr. Davidson admits, when pressed, that his convictions are shaped by his reading of the Bible and theology.
Homosexuality is an indication of the sinfulness of the heart of men and women. So we believe that there is such a thing as sexual redemption, if you're asking me a theological question. But that's not where we start when people walk through the door. We don't start talking about sin. We talk about the fact that they have come for a reason. What is the reason? How can we help? How can we support?
The message that it's not okay to be gay is a very toxic one.
Jeremy Marks, who, as we'll hear, has personal experience of the issue.
It leaves you feeling deeply undermined from the very core of your being, so you think other people may sin and follow through temptations and be forgiven, but really I can never be forgiven because there's something at my core that is unforgivable. Those are very, very corrosive feelings, and they trouble you day and night for years and years and years.
Mr. Marks, himself homosexual and still married, though he himself now lives apart from his wife, is the founder of Courage UK, a Christian ministry set up in 1988, partly with a belief that gay orientation could be changed. However, he wound up the organisation 2 years ago, admitting ruefully that both he, and just as importantly his wife, were casualties of an initially well-meaning but flawed enterprise that was misguided from the start, just like, he adds, many comparable attempts today.
It certainly never did me any good in the long term, but for my wife and I, it certainly has not been a positive objective to seek reparative therapy. On the contrary, I think for my wife, it's done even more damage to her, because the marriage is sort of incompatible in the normal heterosexual sense. We're the greatest of friends, but that's not the same thing as being a true marriage in the heterosexual sense.
Mainstream counselling and therapeutic organisations, including NHS England, the Royal College of General Practitioners and the Association of Christian Counsellors, have just approved a so-called Memorandum of Understanding, declaring conversion therapy unethical. But they've stopped short of a total ban. Janet Wise, Chair of the UK Council for Psychotherapy.
I would not be in favour of a ban. It could scare people away from talking about what it is that they are struggling with. And I also think that the Memorandum of Understanding, in a way, does the job, because all the organisations that have signed up will not be offering gay conversion therapy because it is unethical. They have signed up to this. So you have, in effect, a ban, but not a ban in a way that would be counterproductive.
Individuals need the freedom of choice, and above all, that freedom of choice is what we seek to protect.
Mike Davidson, who suggests that the increasingly vociferous objection to groups like his own, given further weight by President Obama's intervention, betrays a hidden agenda, nothing short of the politicisation of sexuality. But Jeremy Marks reads things rather differently.
The reality of it is that those of us who grow up to find that we are homosexually inclined, we found that is who we are, and we need to come to terms with that and adjust to it and then live a Christian life.
And psychiatrist Professor Michael King says it's people, not ideologies, that should come first.
I think the really important people here are the gay and lesbian people who are distressed and coming for this sort of help. And they're the people that can be helped to realise that they're not ill, that they're not sinners by their very nature.
Professor Michael King, ending that report by Trevor Barnes.